I said something to the whole congregation, I think, a few weeks ago, or a month maybe more ago, about the three things. Maybe it was during, was it Vision Sunday I said it? Anyway, so I'm having fun and time's flying. But the thing I said I wanted to focus on praying this year about was the plan of God, and specifically three things concerning the ministry, the development of this ministry, the progression of this ministry. Remember Jude, just one chapter, remember verse 20. In the Amplified, well, remember the King James first, it says, praying, that when we pray in the Spirit, I don't even remember the King James now, but the Amplified says, make progress. Yes. King James, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Building up yourselves. King James says, building up yourselves. The Amplified says, make progress. Things get stuck when we don't pray in the Spirit, praying in tongues. And some things the Lord has dealt with me that we prayed out when we first came, or before we actually came. He said, you've walked out everything you prayed out. He said this to me more recent times. And he said, there's some more things have to be prayed out. Well, we've been praying, but yet he's saying, focus on this. Focus on this. And as I prayed in the Spirit about it, there's three things that seem to stand out to me as far as some other things that need to be developed in this ministry. When I say this ministry, I'm including the church. I'm including our traveling ministry and so forth and so on. And in any way that, you know, the daycare, all of it, just anything God's having us do. And there's three things, and I mentioned these three things. I'll bring them up to you again because I want you to remember these and focus on these three as we pray. Number one, no particular order, I'm just listing them here. Number one, the traveling ministry. There's more we've got to do in the traveling ministry. The Lord said to me recently, he said, I told you when you were finishing building your house, I said there was going to be a season of rest after you get the house built. And I didn't know it was going to be COVID and staying home so much. But he said that. I said there would be a season of rest. But in more recent days, just here in the last couple of weeks, he said to me, he said, now, based on, what's that, 1 Peter 1:13, it says there, gird up the loins of your mind. Remember that? Yes, sir. And hope to the end for the grace that's to be revealed and so forth. Gird up the loins of your mind. And he spoke to me in the context of the way they would, you know, the men wore dresses back then too. Togas, whatever. And they would tie them up around their legs or their hips to run. And he said, gird up your mind, for it's time to run again. He just said this a couple of weeks ago. Well, I'm ready.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I don't know, but I've been feeling a little bit like a caged tiger at the house. You know what I'm talking about? And so I'm ready, and it's time. It's time for some things. And he was talking to me specifically about some more things in the ministry he's going to be having us do. And one of them is traveling more. That's why the plane's necessary. Some people think it's all about a plane. It's not about a plane. That's just a tool. I mean, I was listening to some people's testimonies recently about getting a car, and I thought, okay, praise God for it, but it was a car. Okay, move on, you know. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
Thank God for those things, but it's about the plan. That's what these things are about. It's about the plan.
Yes, sir.
And so, but he said to me three things. Number one, more traveling. Number two, no particular order. I don't really remember the order he put them in. But number two, some more internet media stuff. Social media kind of things. More broadcasts. More things to be doing in that respect. And then number three, does anybody remember these?
Yes,
amen. Number three is planning churches. And as I've prayed in the Holy Ghost, I'll tell you how that came about. Because I started praying, and it kept coming to me, Lord, I've got to reach more people. I've got to reach more people. We've got to get this message out.
Yes, sir.
I mean, thank God for the number of people we're reaching. We're reaching this city to a degree. The families in the daycare, people that come to the church. We just had 15 people saved Sunday. Praise the Lord. You know, this community came because of the way we set up the service, structured it for the kids to come and so forth. I mean, that's, that satisfies me. I go home times like that, I'm like, yeah, come on now. By the way, the Lord dealt with me. This is a little side note. Don't let me forget where I was at. If I don't get back to it, I'll have to, be your fault, But one of the things he's been doing in my heart the last couple of days, he started a couple weeks ago and it's been stirring in me more in the last couple of days. He said, "You, some of the things you've said about this city and this state," he said, "you can't reach them if you don't have compassion on them." You know, I've said, these Iowa folks, you know, they cold in the winter and in the summer, you know, kind of, you know, some of the things I've said.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He said, you can't reach them if you don't have compassion on them.
All right.
And he's been putting a love in my heart for Iowans. Now, that's a supernatural work for the southern boy. Southern, I thought you grew up in Pennsylvania. Well, it was southern Pennsylvania. But I lived almost as long in Tulsa, almost as long in Tulsa as I did in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And everybody thinks I'm Southern because I talk a little bit like that, you know. They say, where are you from? And I say, well, you wouldn't believe it. I'm from Pennsylvania, but I lived in Tulsa for a long time. Anyway, but he's been putting a love in me. I look at the people and Sunday, I'm just like, thank God for these folks. God loves them. We're going to reach them. God, we love them.
Yes, we do.
Amen. If they're a little messed up, well, we still love them. Praise the Lord. We all came in messed up. So he's been working a work in me, and he's been dealing with me about what I say. Don't look at me in that sanctimonious tone of voice. But anyway, where was I? I'm starting churches. That's the third thing. And it all came out of me praying, Lord, I've got to reach more people. And he gave me these three things to focus on. Now, you might say, well, we know the will of God. Why don't we just go do it? Well, you can know the will of God and not have it prayed out. And boy, you'll struggle to get it to happen. I don't know if you've learned that yet. If you haven't learned that yet, learn it right now. There's some churches we need to start. Amen. And there's some places we need to start churches. I've already got two places in mind. Actually, I got three places in mind. But praise the Lord. Somebody said, how are you going to do that? Well, it's going to take some help, that's for sure. But we're not down here just to pay the bills and suck air. We're down here to get the plan done, you know. And so it's going to take some help. It's going to take some travel. It's going to take, that'd be a good place to use the plane, I'll tell you. Especially when two of the areas are either 5 hours or, well, I won't tell where it is, but longer than that. I think it's about 7 hours, if I think right. Maybe a little longer than that. But in the plane, I mean, you can get the right plane. Hour and a half, 2 hours.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I mean, you don't even need a bathroom break an hour and a half.
No, not really.
Well, let's put it this way. I don't need a bathroom break in an hour and a half. Anyway, let's get back to what we're sharing. Romans 8. Romans 8. Now, he's talking about prayer in Romans 8, and this is something we have gone to many times. I just keep getting drawn back here. Romans 8, 26, 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. What infirmities do we have? Well, here's one of them. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Didn't say we don't know what to pray for. Say we don't know as we ought. We don't know what to pray for, what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit, King James says itself, but it's himself, makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now here's something that even nowadays, now modern word of faith people don't know much about. They're trying to put faith, the prayer of faith and faith confessions on everything, and some things are not working, including praying for this nation.
Yes, sir, that's right.
That's not going to cut it. The prayer of faith is primarily for you. In your life, where you have authority. But it's not for things or realms of prayer where other people's wills are involved. You have to hear that. When other people's wills are involved, the prayer of faith won't work. When other people's... How many of you know in this nation, there's more people's wills involved than just the church? And so you're going to have to pray a different kind of prayer. You're going to have to pray intercession kind of prayer when it comes to this nation. And this nation is in trouble without the church. Without the church interceding. I'm not just saying that. I'm telling you by the Spirit. This nation is in trouble without the church. Now you say, well, we're here, so it's not in trouble. Well, we can be here and not pray.
Exactly.
not use our authority, not deal with the forces of darkness, and still be in trouble.
Yes, sir. Yep, absolutely.
You know? But anyway, when it comes to other people's wills being involved, the prayer of faith will not work. I want to scream that to some Word of Faith folk right now. And I want them to know it's going to take groanings, these yearnings and groanings, which cannot be uttered. You understand? The prayer of faith, we believe we receive, and then go make a confession of faith is not enough.
Right.
We found that out in this election. People were trying to faith it. I'm just saying. I'm telling what the Holy Ghost told me.
Yes, sir. Come on.
It's going to take this kind of travail. It's going to take getting into the Spirit. When you read in the New Testament about intercession and supplication, both of them are done in the Spirit. Here's intercession mentioned, and he's talking about doing it by the help of the Holy Spirit under the anointing, guidance, and anointing and direction of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Listen, if the Holy Ghost doesn't hook up with you with intercession and supplication, you're up a creek without a paddle.
So true. Yes, sir.
You understand?
Yes, sir.
So he's talking about this kind of praying. This is a different kind of praying than the prayer of faith. So verse 27, and he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, it looks like he's saying in both passages that intercession is made for us in 26 or 27 for the saints. But if you look up the word for, which the Lord directed me to this, and he said, you don't make intercession to stand in the gap between two parties that are at odds with one another. Saints and the Father God are not at odds with one another.
That's right.
Now, if somebody is out of fellowship with God, you could make intercession, especially if their life is in danger.
Yes, sir.
That's really not supplication per se, but he's just talking about saints in general, and they're not at odds with one another. You can't make intercession for somebody who two parties that are at odds with one another.
Right.
Intercession means stand in the gap between two parties at odds with one another and bring a reconciliation.
Right.
Saints are not out of fellowship with God. So when it says for there, he's not talking about intercession for the church. He just mentioned in the first part of verse 26 what he's talking about, the Spirit helping the church.
Yes.
He's making intercession helping the church. And I could even go further into the word for. I looked at the Spirit of God prompted me to look up the word for, and it doesn't always mean for in the sense of doing something for somebody. In fact, he said here that the Spirit doesn't do something for us. He helps us do it. So it's not making intercession for the saints. He said the Holy Ghost doesn't do this without us. He helps us. So he's not doing it for us. He's helping us. But the word for doesn't always mean for in the sense of he carried that chair away for you or somebody. Somebody carried a chair away for you. The word for also means to lift up to a higher place. In other words, he'll take you up to a place in prayer where you weren't without the anointing coming on you. And that's a whole... When the Lord showed that to me, I'm like, oh, now I completely understand. It could have been translated in a much different way there. But anyway, all right. So he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession, helping the saints, anointing them to pray, in other words, according to the will of God. So what that verse is saying is we are to make the will of God a target for our prayer life, for our faith in prayer. Now you're in the book of Romans, the 8th chapter. We might get back there, but Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians 5 says something very similar, although it's not talking per se about prayer. Ephesians 5, look at verse number 15. It says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. All right, so then the Amplified. Well, let's read verse 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, the Amplified says in the 15th verse, live purposefully, worthily, and accurately, not as unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, and intelligent people. Wise, sensible, and intelligent about what? In verse 17 in the Amplified, be not vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. So don't be inaccurate, unwise, witless, but be sensible, intelligent people. In other words, about the will of God. Know what God's will is. It's wrong to not know what God's will is. One reason is because we got to give an account for it. We can't stand before him and say, I didn't know. He'll say, I gave you all the tools to know. Number one, the word's the general will of God. But number two, praying in the Holy Ghost. Listen, this is so important. Praying in the Holy Ghost is so important to fulfilling the will of God. That you really cannot fulfill. I know this is going to be strong. Some people won't like this. But denominational people won't like this. But this is what this verse is saying. You cannot fulfill the will of God without being continually filled with the Spirit and praying in other tongues. Because the very next verses say, be not drunk with wine, wherein his excess, but be continually filled. You can't fulfill the will of God without being continually filled. Here's the reason why. Because if you're not continually filled, your mind will go down to the level of the carnal. And you'll think carnally about what the Spirit is trying to pass on to your spirit. And you'll put carnal interpretations on it. I've talked to, I don't know how many people I've talked to, who whenever they finally come and sit under the Word, they realize that what they had in their heart, what they put their own interpretation on it. We've had people come here and say, I spent years in medical school getting ready for medicine and found out whenever I got here that really the call of God on me was to have a healing ministry. Well, that's not speaking against anybody in medicine. Thank God for people that are in that. There's a place for that, and I believe God calls people to that. But they found out by getting their mind renewed, or maybe they were studying the field of psychology. And they found out, or they were thinking about politics. They sat under the Word for a while, and they realized, I got a call to the fivefold ministry. I got a heart to help people. But I put my own interpretation on it. What happened? They got their mind renewed. And number two, they started getting fuller and fuller of the Holy Ghost. And they became wise. Sensible. Amen. No longer foolish about the will of God. That's good preaching, Pastor Jay. Thank you. And so, really, the will of God is mentioned here in Ephesians and mentioned in Romans. It's mentioned many places, but we are to make it a target for our faith. That's just something you need to be praying about. You need to pray about the plan of God for your life. Don't assume you know everything you should know. Amen. Don't just guess and go. If you pray in the Holy Ghost, you don't have to guess and go. You don't have to just kind of, you do like the world, just say, I hope this is right. No, you don't guess and go. You see and know. For the believer, the plan of God, well, let's put it this way. For the believer, the plan for their life is already laid out. It's not something they just kind of pick or choose or decide or mentally calculate. It's something that God has already laid out. And we'll have to give an account for it. Well, I don't have time to pray about those kinds of things. Well, then you'll have time to fail. You'll have time to get off course. You'll have time to live without answers and all the consequences of that. That doesn't appeal to me. Now, there's a verse in 1 John 5:4, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. It says there, whatever. I believe he's talking about people, but he didn't. The King James says, whatever, whatsoever is born of God. That could include more than just people being born again. That could include the plans that God birthed. In your spirit because of prayer.
Yeah, that's good. Amen.
When something comes into your spirit, birthed by the Spirit of God in your spirit because of your prayer life, that will overcome the world. That'll overcome anything thrown against it. Anything the devil throws against it, the devil can't stop that. He can stop you in your own plan. But he can't stop God's plan, when, especially when you mix faith with it. All the money you need will be there. All the strength you need there. All the wisdom you need there. Will be there. All the equipment you need to do it. All the help. All the people that come alongside to help you get it done will be there. Nothing can stop the plan of God if you mix faith with it and make sure you get the plan that God actually has, not your own calculations and so forth. Hallelujah. Whatever is born of God. You're not going to see that verse the same again, are you? Whatever is born of God, it'll overcome. It's got in it what it takes to overcome.
Yes, amen.
Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Now, Paul said that this was important to him because in 1 Corinthians 9:26, he said, I don't run uncertainly. And then he said, I don't fight as one that beats the air. In other words, just missing the mark. He said, I don't run, the King James says, I don't run uncertainly. The Amplified says, without definite aim. How many of you know our, you might say, movements, our decisions and so forth, they should have direction and purpose, not just passing time. They should have, in other words, they should be proactive on purpose, not reactive to what comes up in life.
Yeah, that's good right there. That's
yes.
good.
Amen.
You know.
Come on.
You know what I'm talking about. That's the way a lot of people live, including Christians.
Yes, sir.
They just react to things. Listen, you will never stay in God's plan just reacting to circumstances. That's the ploy of the enemy. He's the God of this world. He'll bring circumstances to cause you to react to them to get you out of what God has in mind. Paul said, my movement, in other words, is not uncertain. I have definite aim, the Amplified says. In other words, I'm deciding where I'm going because of the leading of the Spirit. I'm not just reacting. Well, that dried up. I can't do that anymore. Well, what did God say?
Come on.
What did God say?
All right.
Amen. Well, that door closed. Well, stand, if it's the will of God, then you stand there and command it to open.
That's right. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
Well, that door opened. Well, that doesn't mean it's the will of God for you to go into there, you know. We're not reactive to circumstances and led of circumstances. We're led of the Spirit.
Yes.
Tell your neighbor he's preaching better than your amen and already. Hallelujah. So, but Ephesians 2:10, you know it. The good life in the Amplified, the good life is on the paths that he's prepared ahead of time. There are paths prepared for us. We're not just picking and choosing, guessing and going, saying, you know, well, let's take an aptitude test and see what I'm supposed to do in life. Or let's Google it. You know what I'm talking about? That's all head stuff. Well, my friends think this, or they think that. Well, they don't have the Holy Ghost, most of them, or their mind's very renewed, most of them. Amen. So there's a lot of lives, you know, there, I don't know if you've ever read this verse, but in 1 Peter 1:18, I'm not going to take time to go there because I got some other things I want to spend some time on here. They amplified at 1 Peter 1:18. Well, let me quote the King James. You remember the King James. We're redeemed not of corruptible things, but of incorruptible. From our vain conversation. Somebody said, I'm redeemed from sin. That's right. I'm redeemed from sickness. That's right. All the curse of the law. That's right. Mental torment. That's right. Poverty. That's right. But here's something you're redeemed from. From your vain conversation. Now, that's King James, Elizabethan English. It sounds flowery. It doesn't sound like that's much of a problem. The Amplified says, redeemed, ransomed from the useless, fruitless way of living. Many, there's a lot of even Christian people that are, that their lives still don't count for much. It's still kind of a useless life. They sucked air. They paid their bills. But they didn't raise up another generation after them to know God. They weren't in church. They didn't bring anything to the work of God. They didn't help the work of God on the earth. I mean, if it was up to them, the work of God's not going to get done. Just kind of a life that doesn't really count for him. You know why? There's a reason for something like that. According to these verses, it's because they were unwise and didn't find out what the will of the Lord was. And second of all, they didn't pray it out. Amen. Even though people are born again, they can live meaningless and futile. Just a life that doesn't really count for anything. In fact, some Christians' lives don't even count for society, leave alone the body of Christ. Not trying to be mean on anybody tonight, but it's just aimless, chasing empty pleasures. Bigger house, nicer car. Listen, that's on the plan. The good life is on the plan, but you get to chasing it, the devil will keep you out of the plan. You follow God, he'll bring you into that, but you follow all that and you just chase money and the dollar and, you know, another this or another that, or, you know, a house in Florida for the wintertime. I mean, I'm not against that. Actually, about 2 weeks ago, to my utter surprise, I had never had this thought in my life. It just came up in my spirit all of a sudden, another house down south. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Like, that never thought crossed my mind in my life. I never really thought about it or even desired it. So I don't know. I'm just keeping my mind off of it. But if there's a church down there, it'd be a good place to stay for a few days and come back, you know. Woo! So if you don't get offended, maybe we'll let you stay there, you know. Just... See the weather report? It's going to be 3 feet of snow. Hey, let's go south. Shovel the driveway up here for me, okay? I'll be back in about 5 days. Sunday morning, I'll be back. Some of you don't like it, but that's because you got problems anyway. Anyway, so sorry, Lord, I didn't say that, did I? I'm redeemed from a useless life. But I'm not chasing that stuff. That cross, you say, well, you chasing that? That never thought crossed my mind until a couple of weeks ago. I was praying and it just came up. I'm like, what is that? Never even desired it. Anyway, so now that all of you are really engaged, when you pray in the Spirit, remember 1 Corinthians 14:14 says, when you pray in the Spirit, your spirit, it prayeth, and your, King James says, understanding is unfruitful. Notice that. In other words, your mind doesn't understand what your spirit, what you're praying in tongues out of your spirit. But how many of you know, you could say that he's not, you could say this, he's saying your understanding is unfruitful. He's not saying your prayer is unfruitful. There's a lot of people that think, what's the value of praying in tongues? I mean, it's just gibberish, isn't it? Just,
come on.
And it's, you know, they kind of look down on us for being simple-minded to think that that's doing anything or saying. But the Bible, I've had relatives kind of make fun of me because of praying in tongues. I remember one particular one. And I said to all of them, or wait until they all got in the room. I said, the reason you don't value this is because you never had any sound Bible teaching on it.
Come on.
It's hugely valuable.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Didn't bother me at all that they were so dumb. Amen. The Bible says don't be ignorant about things of the Spirit. You open your mouth and make fun of me speaking in tongues, it just shows me you're ignorant about things of the Spirit. There's huge value in it. It's not gibberish. You're actually praying, 1 Corinthians 14:2, you're praying mysteries. And how many of you know part of that mystery is, what is God's plan?
Yes.
Well, why does God make it a mystery? Not so he's hiding it from you. He's hiding it from the devil.
Because
The devil, if he knew more, he'd mess it up more. But he don't. And when you get on the red telephone speaking in tongues, he can't get in on that. He's like, don't do that. And he'll try to harass you not to do it because, see, the reason he doesn't like you doing it is because you just stepped out of him knowing what's going on.
Amen.
And he wants to know so he can mess it up. So he tries to distract you. Remember the chicken in the refrigerator? Somebody calls, something happens. You get on your computer and you get distracted. I mean, don't look at me in that tone of voice. He doesn't want you praying out the plan. He doesn't want you. See, the Lord said to me one time, mysteries prayed out bring revelation.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
He's not having you pray mysteries so he can sit up in heaven and nudge Jesus and say, they don't know what they're talking about. But we know what they're talking about. That's not what he's having us pray it. It's a mystery. We don't know what we're saying. Our mind is unfruitful, but he's having us pray it because he wants to reveal it.
Yes.
Mysteries prayed out bring revelation. Well, I don't know what to do. Shut that head down and go Shanda, Baki Shikia, Bandaluyeya, and start dipping down here and let him bring that up. And as you pray that out, the revelation comes out. Oh, I like it. You know, here's a verse you need to go to right now. Remember, let's see here. Where is this? Jeremiah chapter number 33. You know this verse. Verse 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And the Hebrew actually says hidden things. Great and mighty means hidden things. Things which the mind doesn't know. We just read a verse that had that in it. It talks about mysteries. Praying in tongues, you're praying mysteries. Well, there's parts of God's plan that we've walked out. It's not a mystery. But there's parts of God's plan that we don't know yet. Or if we do know it, we don't know it as we ought. Like, I got three things on my heart. I got, you know, traveling more. I've got the internet broadcasts and some other things on the social media. And then I've got some things about starting some more churches. This would be the mother church.
Amen.
Amen. This is the base. The Lord has called this the base in prayer.
Amen.
Oh, it's always just that how he refers to it, the base. Amen. But a good, healthy church will give birth to new believers, new churches, ministries raised up, ministers raised up. A good, healthy church will always be given birth to, you know, fruitful. See, that's what fruit is. It's called fruit. Not activity, fruit. I don't like activity. I've gotten to the place, I don't have time for activity. I want to be purposeful. I want to be accurate. I want to be on track. I want to, what good is this doing? What I'm spending my time on right now, what is this bringing forth in the plan of God? How does this make me progress? So, but anyway, call unto me and I'll show thee great and hidden things, mighty and hidden things, which thou knowest not. So, mysteries is what he's talking about, and things that the mind doesn't know. And the New King James says inaccessible things. Now, with that in mind, look at Romans 8 again. King James again. Verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps our... Remember here in Jeremiah 33:3, this is Old Testament.
Yes, sir.
So when we bring that through the New Testament, over through the cross and into the New Testament, what do we find? The Spirit helps our infirmities, which we know, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us or helping us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Amplified says, too deep for utterance. In other words, up here, we don't know how to express what's going on down here. Something's stirring. And we're like, oh, God's wanting me to, there's something I'm supposed to be doing. There are times that there are different things he'll help you with. Here's something he'll help you with. And this is something he's been talking to me about in more recent days. He'll help you with when you get to that place in life where there's a divine, say divine.
Divine.
I'm not talking about a natural, but a divine dissatisfaction. Now, I'm going to help you with something here. Some people put their own interpretation on it and they think they always need a vacation.
All right.
Or they need some time off. Or they sit down and eat the whole bag of Doritos and think it's a natural physical hunger. Or some need they have for relaxation or recreation or something. But it's many times it's much deeper. It's a divine dissatisfaction. There's something in your spirit that's trying to get your attention. Hey!
Yes, sir.
You're not listening to me.
Amen.
There's something more God's trying to tell you.
Yeah. Amen.
Something you don't know. Your head's not caught up with yet.
Right.
Remember Brother Hagin talked about it. He was pastoring and he said it was like washing his feet with his socks on. There's something not right. Just something not right. Down inside there was a divine dissatisfaction. There was a minister one time that asked him, "What? Describe that to us." This is in private. "Describe that to us in more detail. What do you mean that it was like washing your feet with your socks on?" He said, "Well, just everybody was irritating me." I said, "Oh, Jesus." He said, "Just nothing was, I wasn't content with anything going on. Everybody, everything was irritating me."
Yes.
How many of you know sometimes it's not them, sometimes it's us? There's something on the inside going, "This, I got more for you to do. There's more in my plan. There's more." You know, a lot of times when the Spirit of God stirs us to pray, it's because he has something further for us to know, something further, some further blessing he has for us, some further steps he wants us to take, and he doesn't want us to miss it. So he's stirring us to pray, so we'll get into the knowledge of it, number one.
Amen.
And we're going to finish talking about praying it out, giving birth to it, number two.
Amen.
But there's oftentimes that divine dissatisfaction is in your spirit. How do I say it? It's in your spirit to get your attention.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
Without putting your own interpretation on what it really is. Am I making any sense tonight? I'm not all by myself on this tonight, am I? You can get to the place in life where you have a divine dissatisfaction.
Yes, sir.
In other words, it's put there by God in your spirit in order to stir you to pray.
Yeah.
What is it that I'm not settled about on the inside?
Yes.
Brother Hagin said in his case, he's pastoring the best church. They loved him more than any. He had pastored some other churches. But he said, "This church is the best church he ever pastored. They loved him more than any other church ever loved him." And he said, "They were doing better financially, living in a better parsonage.
Yeah.
They had more money. They said the church was doing good. The church was growing. The church was bigger than it ever had been." He checked all the records. The church was doing better than it ever had.
Yeah.
He said he had every reason in the world to be satisfied.
Yeah.
And yet something on the inside wasn't set.
Yeah.
Just divine. And he said we got to pray. And he said, "Well, the reason," he said, "it took him time to get his mind quiet about it." But he said, I think after a few days or however long it was, he said the Lord spoke to him and said, "The reason is because I never called you to pastor to begin with."
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't make that true about everybody that's dissatisfied.
Yes, sir.
But there's something he's trying to pass on to us when we got that divine dissatisfaction.
That's right.
Rather than just go through life living with that, why don't we get quiet and find out what that's all about?
Amen.
Why do I get so irritated?
Yep.
Why am I not satisfied on the inside?
So good.
I remember when we were traveling in the full-time traveling ministry, the Lord was trying to get across to me about pastoring, but I wasn't listening. I thought that was a step down, to be honest with you. I'm just being honest.
Yes,
I mean,
sir.
You don't get anywhere being lying about stuff.
No.
So I thought, you know, but whenever I finally surrendered to it, I described it to some of you. I might have said it publicly. We came here and we lived. When it was the plan of God, we wanted to get in the plan of God quicker than we, as quick as we could.
Yes, sir.
So we just moved real quick, and then we just got a rental house. We didn't even buy a house. We just found, let's just get up there. We want to get in the plan of God. So we bought this rental, we moved in this rental house. And I'll never forget it for weeks. I'd get in bed at night, and she always takes her longer. And so I'm laying there waiting for her to finish whatever she does over there in the bathroom. I just remember just laying there, just waiting for her to come in. I'm just laying there, and she would walk in night after night and see me there with this big Chessie Cat grin on my face. And she'd say, "What are you?" Almost, she'd say, I was almost laughing. "What are you laughing about? What are you smiling about?" I said, "It's just so good to be in the will of God. It's so good to be in the will of God." And you realize before you stepped into that, you were living with a divine dissatisfaction.
Yes.
Hallelujah. That's why some people are so boring to be around. They just anyway, I didn't say it about you. Just I was looking up at the sky when I said that, wasn't I? All right. So praying in other tongues will help you pray those things out. It might be a mystery why you're that way. I mean, God knows you better than you know yourself. You might say, ask yourself, you might lay down at night and say, why do you act that way about that? And you might, and you're asking yourself that question, but you ought to ask the Lord, Lord, why do I act that way? He started talking to you. Anyway, just something you ought to be praying about. Hallelujah. How many of you know praying in tongues enables us to pray about the unknown? It's the supernatural means of communication with God. Because he's a spirit and we're spirits. And God wants to, he's given us a means of praying on his level, spirit to spirit. And we're enabled by the Holy Spirit to pray out things with our spirit in contact with the Holy Spirit. When we're praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit's given our spirit the utterance, and it's a divine cooperation of our spirit with his spirit by the help of the Holy Spirit in us, praying out the will of God. You can't pray in tongues and pray your own plan. You can pray in your mind, pray your own plan.
Pray
your own plan out of your mind, but you can't do it in tongues. Because notice here, he said, and here's the verse you can stand on for that. It says, he prays, helping us, in verse 27, Romans 8, make his intercession for us, or helping us, according to the will of God. You can't pray in tongues and pray your own will. I could go further into that and explain that, but that's just good enough for now. Hallelujah. So you're praying out God's plan apart from your mind and your understanding. And that's what scares some people, because they're like, oh, I got my plan. I don't want to be messed up. Oh, you really do want to be messed up. You want God to mess up your plans. If you only saw the end of your plans. Praying in other tongues is praying as the Spirit gives utterance. It's Spirit-directed praying. Above things that you understand and beyond things that you understand. You say, I know all this. Yeah, but are you doing it? It enables you to pray more fully as you ought, more thoroughly. In your mind, you can say, Lord, like some things that have already been revealed. I just shared three things, you know, social media, church, starting churches and traveling more. In our minds, we know some things. And we can pray a bit in our understanding with that, but not as thoroughly as we need to pray about it.
Yes, amen.
As fully as we need to. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
He didn't say we don't know what to pray for, because you start praying in tongues and some revelation is going to come out. But it's a little like this. I mean, the revelation can come out, but then the next question is, how? Who? Where? You know? You know what I'm talking about?
Yes,
I'm helping myself tonight. So we can pray in tongues and get more. We can pray more thoroughly and more fully until we know completely what we need to know. Now, I understand there's some things you just got to take steps toward before more revelation comes. But sometimes you just know you're in the phase of praying some things out. Hallelujah. So that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to pray some things more fully, more thoroughly. Amen. Some things that we don't know how to express in articulate speech. It's too deep for utterance. You might think of a few things to pray about, and before long, I mean, maybe usually 2 minutes, you're come to the end of your understanding about how to pray about that. Hallelujah. You need to give yourself time to speak in tongues. Give the Holy Ghost time to help you pray it thoroughly as you ought.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Give yourself time. Somebody said, well, I don't have time. Well, that's been the problem. You got the same time that everybody else has. The fact is, if God created 12 more hours in a day and now it's 36 hours, you still wouldn't have enough time. It's not about how much time you have. It's about making priority for what's really important. Somebody said, why is this important? Because you can run hard, but if you're running the wrong direction, you're actually wasting time. The Bible said, redeem the time. Here's one way you redeem it. You find out what to do and pray it in tongues. Find out what his plan is so you're not wasting time running hard in the wrong direction, because you're going to waste all that time running there, and then you got to take all that time to get back in the plan. when you could have been using all that time for the plan.
Yes.
Or praying out the plan.
Yes, sir.
So really, you do have time.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You're either doing your thing or doing his thing with that time.
Yep. Amen.
Amen. Amen. One of our infirmities is we don't know everything. But you don't have to go through life not knowing. You've got the great helper. Thank God for the new covenant, for the Holy Ghost and the new covenant. Now, Proverbs 20, verse 5. I'm almost done with this section. I'm getting to something here. Proverbs 20, verse 5. You can draw out. Remember, he said he that counsels in the heart of man like deep waters, a man of understanding will draw it out. You can draw out what the Holy Ghost within your spirit knows by speaking in other tongues. Words are containers. If I'm speaking out of my mind, I'm speaking a portion of what's in my mind.
Right.
I'm giving you a portion of the information in my mind.
Right.
If you're speaking out of your spirit by the help of the Holy Spirit, you're speaking out a portion of what your spirit knows because the Holy Spirit's passing it on to your spirit. Well, but I don't know. That's the problem. Well, wait a minute. You keep praying. Eventually, it'll come up.
Yes.
And then lighten your mind.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. But you have to draw it up. It doesn't always just float up. Sometimes you got to draw it up. He said it's in there, but you got to draw it out. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now the Amplified of Romans 8 describes, let me read it here. In Romans 8, the Amplified, I think I've got this. Okay, I'm in Ephesians. Let me turn over here. You got a minute?
Yes, sir.
We're gonna practice this tonight.
Amen.
Romans 8, starting in verse number 26. Well, we read verse 26 and 27. In verse 28 says, "We are assured," this is the Amplified, "and know that God being a partner in their labor." That has to be understood because a lot of people quote this verse out of the context. The context is 26 and 27, yielding to the Holy Ghost's help in prayer. That's what he means, God being a partner in their labor. "All things work together and are fitted into a plan for good to and for those who love God and are called according to his design and purpose." A lot of people just think, well, all things are working together for good. Just thinking about everything that happens, everything the devil's doing, God's making that all work for good. No, that's not what that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about whenever you yield to the help of the Spirit and let him partner in your labor. In other words, he's partnering by helping you pray out mysteries. That's what the context is. Then you follow that out and pray that out. Mysteries prayed out bring revelation, so you start walking that out. And also, praying in tongues makes a supply of the Spirit to things. So not only did you pray out the revelation, you got the revelation, now there's an anointing had been prayed out to help you accomplish that.
Yes. That's right.
Makes a supply of the Spirit.
Amen.
That's the whole another side of this. But he said, doing that, things will work together and fit it into a plan for good. In other words, God's good plan comes to pass as we pray it out.
Amen.
Doesn't just come to pass for everybody. There's a lot of things that don't happen, even for Christians, that happen that are not God's will. Well, God did that to work a good plan. I mean, did evil to work good. I mean, God's up in heaven doing evil things to work good plans. No, the Bible said he's not, a house divided against itself will stand, cannot stand, he said. And the Bible said every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. Nothing evil comes from him. He doesn't blow your house over.
No, sir, he does not.
Or kill your child so that you could learn to know him better or something.
No.
People like that, they need to be taken behind the barn. People that think that way.
Yep.
Take their head behind the barn.
Yeah.
Clean it out.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah,
amen. Open it up and dip something out of there that's wrong in there.
Just
yeah.
Not you. But anyway, notice that fitted into a plan in the Amplified. Fitted into a plan. Whenever I read that one day, all of a sudden, some things I'd experienced in prayer started making sense. I don't know if you've ever experienced, whenever you pray in tongues sometimes, some of these things when you're praying in tongues, the way he describes it here, it's a plan starts fitting inside. It starts, something starts being formulated. Amen. And what he's talking about is, it's like things starts fitting on the inside. And when, as you pray those things out, it describes that plan being formulated deep within your spirit, and you cannot even describe it yet with your mind. But as you pray in the spirit, although your intellect and understanding doesn't understand it, something's going on down here, and something's being rearranged. It's being fitted. Things are fitting inside. And sometimes even when I get to praying in tongues, it bubbles up and I start laughing. My head's going, what? And it doesn't understand what it is.
Right.
But yet something bubbled up. Something's being prayed out.
Amen.
Something's being fitted into the plan. I'm praying something to fit into the plan. How many of you know there's a place you fit?
Yes.
And you're finding out where you fit. And you're praying out where you fit. And your mind goes, huh? And up out of your spirit comes, and you know, there's something that your spirit... See, the Holy Ghost knows things your head doesn't know. And your spirit knows things, who's in contact with the Holy Spirit, that your head doesn't know. Hallelujah. This is where success is, folks. This is where you really succeed in life. Rather than flounder and have a useless, meaningless, throwaway life. You actually find the plan... And you closely walk in that plan. Your spirit's developed to dominate you and not to let your mind pull you out of that plan. Or your flesh pull you out of that plan. And you recognize the leadings of God. And you just follow that rather than your head. That's where success is. Tell your neighbor, that's what I'm interested in. Praise the Lord. So it's being formed in your spirit as you pray it out. And life takes on more meaning, more purpose. It's not as much frantic activity running here and there. And I mean, it's just smooth. It just, the one phase flows into the next phase. And the things he's already got you doing come, they at the time you think, it's I'm just walking out his plan. And of course you are. But what you realize as you get into the next step, you look back and you're like, I wasn't just walking out God's plan. He was preparing me for the next part of his plan. I didn't even know it. He was fitting this whole thing in the place. I love it. I love it. I love it. Glory be to God. Some people's lives are just like bouncing from here to there and in and out. And you never, that's not God. God's plan is a flow. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, let's talk about the last part of this. I'm going a little long, but let's look here at, to save some time, let me just read a prophecy. Brother Hagin prophesied back in the 80s. I want to say some things here. I'm taking a little longer than I normally do. This came, and I don't know what year Brother Hagin prophesied this. It seems like from the way some of the things were said, which I won't read all the things that pertain to just the 80s. He was prophesying some things about the 80s. But it seemed like it might have happened in the beginning of the 80s. maybe the end of the 70s. I don't know. But... he was saying some things about the move of God. Let me just start reading it. Yea, says the Spirit of God, the greatest ministry of all is the ministry of prayer. Now, actually, you have to be careful about calling prayer a ministry, but he's talking about bringing something to the people.
Yeah.
You know, the ministry of prayer, the greatest ministry of all is the ministry of intercession. Even all the even all the other ministries will fail unless the intercessors or prayers will take their place. Unless they take their place and stand against the forces of darkness and the forces of evil and will intercede and help to bring forth, to bring to birth the move of the Spirit, the revival, the manifestation of God's power. In later years, Brother Hagin realized there are some things that he was calling intercession that are actually supplication. But you understand that, and won't get off. The bring forth the move of the Spirit, the revival, the manifestation of God's power. And bring to birth, that's what I wanted you to see. Bring to birth the ministries that God desires. Supernatural ministries to be in manifestation in the church. But it will take those who will travail. It will take those who will bring to birth those ministries. And oftentimes, the one who stands to minister may, many will look upon him and think, oh, he's a mighty man of God, and he should get all the benefit. But you see, the reward will not go to him. He will not be the one that gave, he was not the one that gave birth to it. He is the result of the birth. The birth was caused by those who did travail until that was brought forth that God desired to bring forth. So in this hour, in this hour, there is a work of God that has yet, that has not yet been wrought. Oh yes, he was in the move of the healing revival. He was in the move and instigated it, and men prayed and brought about the revival that we call the charismatic move in the denominational church, in the Catholic church, and what a mighty move. But you see, now you stand, saith the Spirit of God, on the threshold at the door of another move of God. Now I contend, I believe you can judge this and tell me if I'm right. I contend God's been trying to get this move that we are still only in the beginnings of, all the way, he's been trying to get this going ever since the 80s.
Yes, sir.
So this is still where we are.
Yes, sir.
Amen. He said, but you see now, you stand, saith, I'm going to repeat it again. You stand, saith the Spirit of God, on the threshold at the door of another move of God. Somebody said, my goodness, Pastor Jay, that's been 40 years ago. Well, with God, 1,000 years, that's a day.
Yeah.
He's not the one that we're waiting on.
That's right.
He's waiting on us.
Yes, sir.
Then he went on to say, by the Spirit here, will it be brought forth? Shall, God said then by the Spirit, shall I bring them to the birth and not bring it forth? Oh, says the Lord of hosts, when Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. You see, it is not just the Lord that brings forth the move, for he moves through men. He uses his church to do his work in the earth. It is instigated by the Spirit, but you see, it is Zion that travails. See, he's quoting from Isaiah 66 here, verses 7 through 9. If you want to write that down, I don't think we'll take time tonight. But those verses talk about, as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. And then it says, shall I bring to the birth and not bring it forth? The Lord's talking about that here. And so, you see, it's not just the Lord that brings forth the move, for he moves through men. He uses his church to do his work in the earth. It is instigated by the Spirit, but you see, it is Zion that travails. In other words, we have a part in this. So travail ye, O ye intercessors, you intercessors, travail ye. Seek ye the face of the Lord. Give yourself unto the Lord, and you'll bring forth the birth of that which God desires to do, here he said, in the 80s. And you'll be glad, and the reward will be great. But see, this is true about our day, not just the 80s. You'll be glad, and the reward will be great, and how marvelous shall be the results thereof. Hallelujah to Jesus. That's what the Spirit of God is saying. Hallelujah. So I want you to see there, and that's in line with some things even in the New Testament. We just read Romans 8. It comes forth as somebody prays it out. And a lot of other verses, but you can just write that down. Isaiah 66, 7 through 9. Go meditate on it as you go to bed tonight or something like that. It talks about, as soon as Zion travails, she brought forth her children. In other words, there's some things that won't be birthed unless Zion travails. He's using the illustration of a woman giving birth to a child.
Right.
And it's referencing prayer. Remember, Paul prayed for the church at Galatians. Galatians 4:19, is it? He said, I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. He had travailed in birth to bring that church into being, to bring those into the kingdom of God. Amen. We've had 15, 30, sometimes even more people saved during one of these services, some of these. What if we spent more time travailing?
Right. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Rather than 15 or 20 or 30,
Come on.
It'd go to 50 and 100 and 250.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I'm just saying. I'm you might say I'm, you know, picking on you. Well, what about me? What if we all? What if souls meant more to us? And we really, it mattered to us. Mattered enough, loved them enough, had compassion enough on them. To where it was, on Saturday night, we didn't watch a movie. We spent our time praying for these people. And I'm not talking about waiting until till the night before either. I'm talking about just living this lifestyle. Yielding as the Spirit of God comes on us. Hallelujah. But I want you to see two things. He's not just talking about travailing for souls to be born again in this passage. I mean, this passage in this prophecy, he's talking about travailing and bringing forth the move of the Spirit. And listen to this: those ministries that otherwise would fail unless this kind of praying took place, because these people in prayer stood against the forces of darkness. I've had some things. The social media team knows this. Brian, Miss Katie, of course, busy tonight. But we've had, Teresa's not here. She's with Pastor Debbie. Christine's have been in some of those meetings. We've been working and planning about some things on social media for about 2-3 years now. And there's just something that's not coming forth. Well, the Lord's been dealing with me. You're going to have to pray this thing out.
All right.
I don't want to just do it.
No, sir.
Let's just start and do it. No, let's pray this thing. Okay, I'm supposed to get on there. What am I supposed to talk about when I get on there? Am I supposed to talk about faith? Am I supposed to talk about the move of the Spirit? Am I supposed to talk about prayer? I know some things.
Yeah.
Amen. But what if we do it and it's not prayed out? It'll go like this. It'll just have so much reach. But what if we do it under the anointing because somebody helped us pray this out and the forces of darkness that try to oppose it are dealt with? You know, the Lord spoke to me about a year ago and said, did you know your social media is being sent, or what's the word he used? Suppressed. Whatever the word he used. The Lord used the word that had something to do with suppression. I said, us? He said, yes. He said, some of the ways they set up the algorithms and stuff. They don't like the people of God.
That's true.
Well, we can deal with those things in the Spirit.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, I don't know what you're thinking, but you ought to listen.
Hallelujah.
So these ministries that have to be brought forth need prayer. And he said here that these things will fail without this kind of prayer. Isn't that what this prophecy said? Well, let's get with it. What do you say?
Yes.
Bring forth the ministries, that this kind of prayer brings forth the ministries that God desires. Supernatural ministries to be in manifestation in the church. But it will take those who will travail. It will take those who will bring forth those ministries. Amen. Well, amen. Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. So let's spend some time praying tonight about these ministries that are supposed to come forth. And even, see, we're here pastoring and seeing fruit. Even praying more for the work we're already doing.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So that it's more fruitful.
Yes.
Birth
yes.
things.
Yes,
I had an experience way back, I don't know, within a couple of years of being here, just first coming here, where in the Spirit praying some things out, I saw the back of this auditorium filled with wheelchairs and stretchers.
Yes, sir. Yep.
In a healing meeting. I suppose it was a healing meeting.
Yep. Yes, sir.
I mean, why else would they be there?
Yeah.
Well, somebody said, well, why haven't we seen that? It takes travail.
Yes, sir.
It takes
Amen.
That kind of praying.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.